Praise you, Lord. Well, today we're going to get into part 10 of our series in Philippians. It affects everything would be the title of today's part on it. It affects everything. Your question might be, and should be actually, well, what's your question? What is it, right? Shouldn't that be the question? That's the question. Well, we're going to answer that. I got a real quick video clip that's going to answer what it is this morning.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good.
So what is it? It's the return of Jesus. Did that lightning scare you? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, the Lord is good, isn't He? The return of Jesus changes everything. Today we're going to see that as we get into the Word. You can flip actually to Philippians 3. We have to review the last two verses before we get into Philippians 4 today. But the return of Jesus changes everything. Verse 20. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into His glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Amen. Paul is the pastor of the church of Philippi. He started this church about 11 years prior. And here he is sharing the Word of God from prison. And he's talking about joy. Joy does not depend upon the circumstances you're in. He's in prison, chained to a wall, preaching about joy. Joy is bigger than whether or not you have a job. Joy is bigger than whether or not your family's fighting. Joy is even bigger than whether or not your house is getting foreclosed on. Joy is bigger than that. Are those things serious? Yes. But the Word of God says no matter what we go through, we can have joy, which is the complete, I defined it the other week as somehow getting the knowledge of being able to trust God from our head to a place where it's deep within our heart. That's when we have joy. that it doesn't mean you're happy when your house is foreclosed on. It doesn't mean that. What it means is whatever happens here on this planet, we know that Jesus is with us. Amen? And we know we can get through anything. But listen, we just don't know it up here. We know it because it's deep within our heart, you understand. It's not just something we can intellectually say, and maybe we can quote the verse, but it's not a heart thing. Real joy is when it's deep within our heart, and it doesn't matter what happens or what the phone call is at 3 a.m. We know Jesus is still Lord, right? We know He's still on the throne, right? And we know nothing shakes Him or scares Him. He doesn't sit up there and say, wow, I didn't see that happening. He knows. And real joy is when we can trust Him that He knows. We can trust Him with our heart. Even more than you can trust your best friend, we can trust Jesus. Amen. We had to back up and get the context here. The Bible wasn't written with verse numbers. It wasn't written with chapter sections either. This all came after. So when Paul wrote Philippians 4, it was a continuation of Philippians 3. It's always that way. It didn't have different headings or anything like that. So you have to look at the context here. Because Jesus is coming back, he gets into verse 4. Because Jesus is coming back. The Lord's return affects everything. It affects the way we live our life, Paul says. Verse 4, stay true. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, what does that mean? It means I really love you guys. Therefore means, look at the previous verses, because Jesus is coming back, my family, those who I love so much, therefore, stay true to the Lord. Stay true to the Lord. The way we live our life should change because Jesus is coming back. Stay true to the Lord. The NIV says, stand firm. Stand firm. What does this mean? It means to steadfastly resist the negative influences of temptation, false teaching, or persecution. It means when people come up and challenge you, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't forget about God, no matter what happens in your life. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stay true. When you're tested, when people want to disown you because you're a believer, that's fine. We stay true. Remember the old song? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Remember that? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Remember that song? The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. No matter what happens, we stand firm. We stand firm. The Lord is coming back. He is coming back. When is He coming back? I don't know. And honestly, the day I give you a date is the day you should leave and find a new church. Seriously. Some of you watch those TV guys and they give you a date. Well, it's time to turn the channel off. Because Jesus said, I didn't know. As soon as anybody says, I know, liar, psh, done. We don't know. But I do know this, it's 2,000 years closer. And Paul says it could be any moment. And I know we're 2,000 years closer than Paul could have ever imagined. He's due. You saw the video. There's going to be people in church. Somewhere around the world, there's going to be a church. There's going to be a pastor preaching. And there's going to be people left behind. But if the Lord doesn't return for 1,000 years, this is still valid because if He doesn't come meet us soon, we're going to go meet Him, right? We're going to stand before Him. This should affect everything. This should affect everything. If you knew that Jesus was coming back at 12 o'clock, we'd probably be here, because I can't imagine skipping church knowing Jesus was coming back at noon. Right? Probably wouldn't be on the beach, although there's nothing wrong with the beach. I was there yesterday. Nothing wrong with the beach. But we'd be in church on a Sunday, wouldn't we? Probably. We'd bring everybody we know, wouldn't we? Someone once said that we should live our lives as if Jesus died on the cross yesterday, rose from the grave this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. Think about that for a second. If we lived our lives as if Jesus died on the cross yesterday, rose from the dead this morning, what did they do when Jesus rose from the dead? They went around telling somebody, didn't they? Right? Wasn't their life different? They were excited, weren't they? And live as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, what would your to-do list look like today? Wouldn't it be different? Now, I'm not saying that we know Jesus is coming back tomorrow, therefore sell your home and don't cut your grass and sell your lawnmower because it's not going to get high. I don't know whether or not it's going to get high, right? But we need to make sure we stay true to the Lord, because we don't know. We don't know. To be honest with you, I think a lot of times we live defeated lives as Christians. Maybe all the time we live defeated lives as Christians because we have compromise in our hearts. Do you know what compromise is? It's when you know you're supposed to do something for the Lord and you decide, nah, I don't want to do it. Right? You know you're supposed to live a certain way, do a certain thing, be faithful to your spouse, work for your boss as if you're working for the Lord, the Bible said. And we compromise. And we're like, eh, whatever. If Jesus was coming back tomorrow morning and we knew it, how would you work? Right? Right? How would you live? Would the temptations be as strong in your life? The things that pull you away from God? If you knew He was coming at 6 a.m., I don't think those temptations would attract you too much, would they? You could be focused. You're like, no! Somebody run into your car, you'd normally get out and want to hit them, but you shouldn't. But say, if that was your reaction, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I'll need this car anyway. Right? Lord, I almost made it to You first, and it's even tomorrow. You would say, stay true to the Lord. The way that the fact that the Lord returns means everything. Stay true to the Lord. And He says, I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. The second part of this is the Lord's return affects everything. It affects the way we share our faith. And here's how I got this. Taking people to heaven with us is awesome. Taking people to heaven with us is awesome. Now, I know you could make this sound freaky, and I'm not saying like the serial killer would take somebody to heaven. I don't mean it that way. Let's just set that up. That's not what I mean, like kill somebody. I'll take you to heaven. No, that's not what I mean. But I purposefully like this wording because when we go to heaven, wouldn't it be awesome if we have more people there than if we... Right? That because we became a believer, we have friends and family that won't be in hell. Wouldn't that be awesome? Am I right? Paul says to his church family, I love you and long to see you, my dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Paul said that when I get to heaven and I stand before God, what's His joy? What's His crown? What's going to be His reward? Looking back and seeing Philippians Worship Center right there in heaven. Wouldn't that be awesome? Taking people to heaven with us is awesome. What's the best way we'll be able to take people to heaven with us? Well, we need to tell somebody about the Lord, right? Because you can't just like be good and honest and stuff. So you need to share the faith. You need to let somebody know. Is it scary? What do we think? Is it scary to share our faith? Is it easy?
No,
it's not easy. It really can be tough, can it? That's why we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit and seek Him. But there'll be times where the Lord opens up a little window in somebody's heart. And sometimes the only thing you can get in there is, the Lord is good, isn't He? And that could even be a key sometimes. I don't know. Why is the Lord good? I mean, look at all my problems. Did you see the window that just opened up? The Lord is good, isn't He? I don't know. Look at all my problems. I don't know. I have trouble with that. Your opening is there. Well, how come? Well, because I've been through such hard times and I don't know. My wife left me and my kids stink. Somebody relates. You could say, well, you know, I know that God, His heart and His desire, according to the Word, is to bless us. So I'll pray for you. I'm really sorry you were having a hard time. You know, I've had hard times too in my life. And I found Jesus to be the rock in my life. Well, what kind of hard times have you had? You haven't gone through what I've gone through. Well, you know, I've had a lot of pain, and you could begin to share with your life. Do you see how the Lord can open up a little window? And sometimes the thing we need to do is, the Lord is good. Right? Just acknowledge that you have faith in the Lord, and sometimes that can be a key to somebody's heart. They can begin to share. Jesus is coming back, and we need to share our faith. Let me tell you, the best thing you can share, sometimes we get intimidated as Christians because we don't remember the little diagram to draw a cross, or maybe we don't remember all the verses. Here's the best thing you can share, ready? Your testimony. That's the best thing you can share. Share Scripture if you can, but don't get intimidated and not share anything because you feel like you don't have the Scriptures memorized. Share your heart. Share your testimony. And honestly, if you've ever done this, if you've ever taken a step and shared, guess what? The Lord gives you the words. Doesn't He? Because they're talking to you and inside you're like, Lord, help! Anybody? Lord, they look open and I don't have anything. Right? And all I got is the Lord is good. I want more, Lord. Roman something? Give me something. Right? Give me a verse. And you want to just go into a trance. The Lord said, whatever, and you're just sitting there in your car over a milkshake, and it's not seeming real spiritual. And a lot of times the Lord is just dropping that. The Lord, I am good. Share that. I'll give you the next one. Just share that. Right? Go ahead. Today, then we'll share. The Lord's good. What about Him is good? The Lord's like, see, there's your opening. Don't seem like an opening. Shh, say it. Share. You know, I've been through some stuff and the Lord's really helped me. Would you mind if I prayed with you? Bam. Share your faith. Right? Because listen, they can refute stuff. Well, the Bible was written by a bunch of guys and it's all full of errors. Which it's not. But when somebody says, we don't even know if the Bible's the Word of God, they're not really talking about the Bible. They're talking about their heart. And they're thinking, that's not going to help me. A lot of times we'll say, well, actually the Bible was written by so many authors over so many thousands of years, and if you look at historical evidence, that wasn't their question. Their question is, how can I trust that? Right? Well, I know church is full of hypocrites. There's your open door. You're right. I'm one. I don't have a perfect life. But I thank Jesus that He forgives me. That He helps me. Right? And the Bible has changed my life. And I know what I was like before. I had such bitterness and anger and hatred. And Jesus has been at work. The Lord will give you words. Share your faith. In fact, I think as a church, I would like to get into how to share your faith stuff. But really, number one, share your heart. Share your heart. And here, this goes back to the first one. It affects the way you live, because if your life is terrible and you try and say, Jesus has changed me, your friend will say, you got high with me last night. I don't think He's really changed you. Right? Jesus changed me. Yeah? Then why do you look at other women when you're married? But Jesus changed me. Then how come you blow off church with me every weekend to go fishing? And we think, we're skipping church to relate, Lord. And your friend is saying, don't look like it's that much of a priority. I don't know, if Jesus really rose from the dead and changed my heart, I'd think I'd be excited about it. Must not have. So we need to watch how we live, right? Because it really affects our testimony. And here's the gripping thing for parents. For me, Amber will love Jesus primarily by what she sees in my life. In my wife's life, but I want to just put it on me right now. Primarily, Amber will love Jesus, I think, because of that. That's a weight I carry. That's a weight I carry. And as parents, we need to realize that. We need to watch how we live. The tough thing sometimes can be to ask for forgiveness. And I make sure I go to my daughter when I'm out of line. And I react in a harsh way and I come over by her bed and say, honey, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have got mad at you. It wasn't right. Can you forgive me? And guess what? Thank the Lord, she has always leaned over and said, no problem, Dad, I love you. And gave me a hug and moved on. But she's going to look at how I live. She knows what I preach. She's going to watch how I live and see if it's really changed me. If you have children, watch how you live. Even if your children are older and they're adults, even if you have grandchildren, that's fine. Live what you're supposed to live, and they will see. And when there's a prayer need, Lord willing, they will call. Don't you get prayer requests from all kinds of people and you think, you don't even believe in God, you want me to pray? Right? You're a complete heathen and you want me to pray for you? I'm not even sure how that works. But you know what? That's awesome. Because when there's a crisis moment, many of us have turned to the Lord. And we'll take that. We'll take that window. We'll thank the Lord and we'll say, we will pray with you. We'll call the church. I'll email the pastor and let people know. The return of the Lord affects everything. I think taking people to heaven is awesome as well. Another thing it affects, and we're going to move rather quickly here, but it affects the way we settle our dispute. The way we settle our disputes. Disputes happen, fights, arguments happen everywhere, doesn't it? It even happens, believe it or not, in church. Right? Anybody ever get an argument with somebody in church, or you just didn't see eye to eye? Or was it just me? Anybody ever in a social church social hall where you're like, man, this guy hacks me off. Right? And you could almost visualize popping them in the nose. Anybody, or is it just me? I've been there, anybody? I'm like, this dude is so rude, there ain't no Jesus in that. Right? Maybe it looks something like this. Stop gossiping. Oh. Oh! Do you see that?
Oh!
Is this how we handle stuff in church? Oh. Yeah, Donna got that on an email years ago and said, I got to save that. Church gossip. Is that a way to settle your dispute? Boom! No. You see, the Lord is coming back. And because we know the Lord is coming back, this changes the way we even settle things, fights within church. Look at verse 2. He says, now I appeal to Yodia and Syntek. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your agreement. Because you belong to what? The Lord, settle your disagreement. In this church, there were people who were fighting these two ladies. They weren't getting along. It was so bad that Paul's in prison, however many miles away, and he has to stick that in the Bible. Please tell Doris and Donna to stop fighting. That's the gist, right? Why? Because it's going to destroy the church. It's even worse in the church, isn't it? Because then people who live across the street, they're not coming to church when you fist fight at the curb. They're not coming. Because you belong to the Lord, like you should settle it anyway, but because you belong to the Lord, take care of this. Take care of this. What do we need sometimes? Sometimes we need a mediator. Get a mediator if needed. Look at verse 3. I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Does Paul say these aren't Christian women? No, he said they've worked hard. They've spread the gospel. Their names are in the book of life. But they're having trouble seeing eye to eye. And it's really hard once one swallows the other person's eye up. Then it is hard to see eye to eye. He says, I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. Here's the gist quickly. Sometimes we need help settling arguments, don't we? Sometimes we need help. It says, I ask you, the NIV, local yoke fellow. This is a person in the church, a man Paul could count on, who he could say, hey, help take care of this. Help take care of this. What is a mediator? A mediator is somebody who you can get together. If Donna and Sheila were fighting, a mediator may be like Joe, who has nothing to do with it. He said, you know what? Let's sit down together and let's hear this. Tell me what's happening. And you would hear both sides of the story and help come to some kind of reconciliation, right? Does that mean they don't love Jesus? No. It just means there's a disagreement that we need to take care of. If you notice in the Old Testament, this was one of Moses' responsibilities. He was to judge between problems. In fact, his father-in-law Jethro came and said, Moses, this is too much, man. You need to delegate. You need to bring in other people to help decide these matters. Whenever you have two neighbors, there's going to be an argument about the fence line. As soon as one person takes down the fence and starts putting it up, hey, that's 6 inches on my side. Get your tree leaves out of my yard. Right? You need somebody to help settle things. If you have a problem with somebody, especially in the church, get somebody to help. You can talk to me about it. That's fine. Does that mean you don't love Jesus? No. In fact, you know what? It's not. Some people would say, well, it's immature to do that. The immature thing is to allow the church to be destroyed over your petty argument. Isn't that immature? Where you get to a point where you'll fight for years and years and years, you'll never reconcile, and you'll even wonder what in the world you're fighting for, and you won't even know why you don't like somebody. I have relatives who have never talked to each other in years. I have whole sides of my family who I've never met. Because through the family line, 50 years ago, somebody had an argument with somebody else. And I have no idea what that's about. But I have people who I'm related to who I don't even know. Anybody? Two? You? Yeah, just about everybody, right? Let's not have that happen in the church. Jesus is coming back. The return of the Lord should change the way we settle our disagreements. Why? Because either we're going to die or He's going to come back. And I don't want Jesus to come back and see me in the middle of an argument with Ivan or something, right? Come on, Ivan. And Ivan's like, come on, Pastor. And Jesus is coming back and we're dueling. We don't want that. Or worse, the picture, right? We don't want that. Alright, the last thing. The Lord's return affects everything. That's our attitude. We're almost done here. Verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. How often? Always. How about when hard times hit? Always. How much joy do you need? Be full. How about when they're repossessing your car and you're running down the street to yell at the tow truck guy? Again, what does joy mean? Does joy mean you're happy? You're not happy, right? Joy doesn't mean you pop on a fake smile. Joy means we trust Jesus is in control and we pray, Lord, in your sovereignty, oh God, let me catch this guy. Right? Lord, give me grace. Please leave my car. You ever see Repo Guy on TV?
Yeah, 73.
Yeah, yeah. Your goal, from what I've seen on the show, is you got to get rid of that car before he hooks up to it. Once he hooks up to it, it's his, right? If you get it out of there. And they showed one time a car leaving off the back of a tow truck and ripped the back end of the car off. Like, trying to get out of there. And the joy in the Lord is, Lord, help me to get my car off the tow truck. But Lord, even if you don't, I trust you that you're still God. And see, the difference perhaps is this. If the guy takes her car, we don't walk away and say, how did you let this happen, God? I thought you loved me. Wow, do you see that? That's not joy. I don't know what that is. Then the Lord might answer, I gave you the money. You spent it in the wrong place. Oh, right? I don't think we really want to get into that with the Lord. Maybe it's like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? And Daniel. The king said, bow before me, worship my big golden idol. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. We can't do that. We only worship God. And they said something like this, if you throw me into the fiery furnace, I trust God's going to keep us safe. That He's going to protect us and we're going to be even okay. And here's the astounding line. Even if He does not, we still won't bow before your idol. I think that's a good picture of joy. You think they wanted to get tossed in a fire? I'm thinking they'd rather be fishing. Just me. But, even if the Lord doesn't rescue us, we're still going to do the right thing. Because they knew Jesus was God. They knew that God was in charge, right? And in the same way, we know the Lord is coming back. We need to say, even if such and such doesn't happen, I'm still going to trust the Lord. Because Jesus changed me, heaven is a reality, right? And I'm not going to let my circumstances dictate how I am. Because Jesus is coming back. Always be full of joy in the Lord. How often? Always. How much? Full. Anybody want to take a stab at what the next one is? In the same verse,
rejoice.
Rejoice. It's the same thing. Paul says it again. Rejoice in the Lord always, King James says. And I say it again, rejoice. Why? Because we don't get it the first time, right? Right? You're like, yeah, that's a good one, Pastor Jim, whatever. He says it again, rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because we trust in the Lord. Now, if you get a phone call that somebody's sick or there's cancer, are you happy again? No, you're not happy. But can I tell you something? If you have a deep trust and relationship with the Lord, you're going to feel a whole lot better about whatever problem you're going through, knowing the Lord's on your side. Am I right? Coming in, Lord, I trust You. My joy is in You. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I tithe this week. Is that Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I gave to the missionary. No. Because I let my buddy use my drill. No. Why? For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Jesus changes everything, and the return of the Lord changes everything. Last one, be considerate in all you do. Be considerate in all you do. For some of you, you may want to change that to don't punch somebody in the eye. Be considerate in all you do. This Greek word refers to a spirit that is reasonable, fair-minded, charitable. The NIV calls it gentleness. The idea is that you're willing to yield your own rights to show consideration and gentleness to others. You're willing to let go your own rights to show consideration and gentleness to others. Paul used the same word in 2 Corinthians 10:1 when he spoke of the gentleness and meekness of Christ. You're willing to let go. Be considerate of others. What if your buddy... Here's one. Hits real close to home, okay? What if you loan a good friend of yours your pneumatic nail gun? Right? You're doing a project. You got this air-powered nail gun. And you're using it to build something. And your buddy loses the trigger off of the gun. Joe's laughing because Joe let us borrow his pneumatic air gun. I lost the trigger to his air gun. It doesn't work if you don't have a trigger anymore. Joe didn't once punch me in the mouth. Thank the Lord, right? It was all right, no problems, Pastor. And I felt bad. No problems. And thank the Lord in His sovereignty, He allowed us to find that trigger. I think you found it, right, Bill? You got it back, right?
Yeah.
Is it still in there?
Well, it was in my truck.
Okay. Okay, but I gave it... Well, He gave it back to you for me. So praise the Lord. Be considerate. Be considerate. 1 Corinthians 6, 1-8, if you'd want to look at that later, we're going to close here, but 1 Corinthians 6, 1-8 talks about lawsuits within a church. People weren't considerate. Paul says, how dare you have lawsuits? Wouldn't it be better just to take the loss? Can you imagine if Joe sued me? Put it in a paper, Solid Rock member sues pastor. And then we're in the community. Please come to our church. Oh, you're the one with the lawsuit. Right? Listen, the Lord is coming back. Very last line here. Remember, it says, the Lord is coming back. The Lord's return is soon. The Lord's return is soon. James 5, 8 and 9. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. James 5, 8 and 9 says, because Jesus is coming back, it affects everything, doesn't it? Today we looked at how it affects the way we live, right? It affects the fact that we want to take people to heaven with us, right? It affects the way that we deal with each other, right? And we can be full of the Lord and full of His joy because we know if somebody steals our car, we're not going to need it when we go to heaven anyway. Right? Am I right? And some of you are saying, praise the Lord, I don't want my car in heaven. I'm hoping we all get 2010 Dodge Chargers. That's what I'm hoping in heaven. That's what I want. But we'll see. God bless you. My Saturn won't be in heaven. Praise the Lord. Yeah? I'm glad you like your Saturn.
Dodge ain't no good.
We're going to go ahead and pray. And I want to encourage you to work for the Lord, to live as if He's coming back tomorrow morning. You know? Because He might come back before I'm done. Let's just live for Him. And you know what? Honestly, that life is a good life. Isn't it? Isn't that a good life? When you get through the day knowing you didn't compromise your values, there's a good feeling there, isn't there? If you get through the day knowing that you've shared your faith and somebody's going to heaven because of you, isn't there a good feeling there? If you get through the day knowing that you took care of a problem and now there's forgiveness, isn't there a good feeling there? Let's trust the Lord and let's live for Him, and He will help us along the way. We're going to go ahead and pray, and we want to pray for you too. If you just need prayer, don't leave without prayer. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You. Lord, we do. Honestly, we really do. We don't just say that. God, it's not a flippant thing we say. We're not about the religion, Lord. I thank You that You love us and that You allow us to experience Your presence, Lord. That You fill us with joy, God. And that You're at work in our lives and in the lives of our community. Lord, I thank You for the answers to prayer that we've received. Lord, as a church, none of it is about us. It's not how well we can pray or anything like that. It's You. It's all about You. And the miracles bring glory to You. So we pray today in Christ's name, Lord, that You would work in this man's life. Jesus, that at the hospital they will see his arm get better, that he will not need to have it amputated. In Christ's name we pray. Lord, we do it and we pray not because, again, of anything, but because of the stripes that You received upon Your back. We have healing. So we ask that healing would be made manifest in this man's life. Lord, that You would bless him completely, completely. And we look forward to hearing the testimony of what You've done. Hallelujah. Lord, we know You're coming back soon. And I pray that You would help us as a church to live for You. To live with the realization that You're coming back. And Lord, I pray that that really honestly would affect everything in our lives. How we act, whatever, Lord, that it affects everything. We trust You. And we live for You. Be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.